Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the education story when we come back. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, that tax was levied only on the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of our population, and it had a top tax rate of only 7%. Today, of course, the fears of those early opponents of this tax have been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top tax rate had jumped to 60%. And by the time Franklin D. Roosevelt was completed his term, the top tax rate was over 90%. And the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. Now, back in 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at all levels. This year, the average American family will have to work all the way through May 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when we compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output, and they were considered slaves. So what does that make us today? This income tax and Social Security tax violate 3 of the 10 commandments, and they violate 8 statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. And this income tax and Social Security tax are 2 criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security tax is the 8th plank to the Communist Manifesto. And that's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org or call us direct at 417-273-4967. I want you to do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about education, the education story. And last time we took a look at the foundation of it. Where'd this thing get started? Hell, it's way back in the Revolutionary War times, in the 1770s. And it's been carried out now in America to where we're actually complaining. I mean, mothers in Washington, D.C., in the inner cities, poor people that are just, on welfare, mothers and so on, are complaining about the outcome, the educational outcome of their children in these public schools. And so last time I pointed out that the two poorest public school systems in America, New Orleans and Washington, D.C., and the other inner-city public school systems in Washington and in Chicago and Los Angeles, just anywhere you want to go, they turn out children who score at the 28th percentile. That's abysmally low because homeschooled children, on average, score at the 86th percentile. And here's the kicker. You poor mothers in Washington, D.C., could take your child out of that school system where he's now scoring at 28 without any college education, without any teaching credential. On average, you personally, a high school dropout, could educate your child, and on average, he would score at the 86th percentile. You could do that in the morning. So I thought I'd share with you this homeschool concept. If you want your child dumbed down, send him to an inner city American public school. He will come out as dumb can be. It's the dumbest child. It's the most ignorant. It's the poorest education that we can give him. It's the inner city American public school that the Japanese, when they came over here and took a look, said, there's nothing here in the public school system of America that we can see worth emulating that we'd want to take back to Japan. And the Japanese do not score at the bottom on a worldwide basis or a worldwide average. I don't know that they're at the top, but they're sure as hell not at the bottom. America is down around number 32. I think that's the last number I saw. Yeah, so if you take 189 countries in the world that belong to the United Nations, and you rank those, there's somebody at the top, and I think it is the Japanese or something close to it. They score up at the top with their children and their educational system, and America scores at number 32. Not the poorest. I'm not suggesting that we've got the poorest school system in the world and that our children are dumber than anybody else in the world. That's not true. But you'd think that here in America, where we spend more money per child educating them, that we would be something above number 32. I mean, you know, you could spend the most and not be number one, but you ought to be number 3, 5, or 9, shouldn't you? So here in America, we spend on average $10,000 in our public school system to turn out a kid that on average scores at 50. But we can spend $550 a year and get a kid that scores at 86, and 86 is much better than 50. And the people that homeschool, the majority of them are not college educated and they are not teacher credentialed. So I just wanted to point that out to you. Now, my wife and I are not college graduates, and we are not teacher credentialed, and we turned out our children out of our homeschool, and we were very satisfied with the outcome. Very satisfied. We had a girl here. She was probably the smartest of our children, and you know, everybody is smarter than somebody else. But then, you know, we're all dumber than somebody else. See, when I went to school, I can remember that I never was academically at the head of my class. George Bush, as I recall, was at the bottom of his class. A lot of our presidents, you know, when you rank them academically, they haven't been the best and the brightest and the smartest. Some of them have ranked right down there at the bottom. Some of them have been pretty good, and some of them haven't been so good. But the moral of the story is not everybody scores, you know, at the top of his class. And I was one of those. I never was academically the sharpest marble in the drawer. Not at the bottom by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly not at the top. All right, so if you'll think about your own academic career, maybe you were like Justice Scalia of the Supreme Court. He was the top in his class. He was number one all through school. He was number one. And that's great. That's wonderful. But not all of us can do that. But hey, listen, we don't have to be down at the bottom either. And that's my point, that here in America we have the majority of our children scoring down here at the bottom, which is totally unnecessary. And even for you poor people, you know, if you're poor, whatever poor is, your children can score right up there at the 86th percentile also. Because here in America, the more money you spend on your child educating him, the dumber he will be. Now, that's what the numbers tell us. We're spending $17,000 per child in the inner city public schools on average, and they're scoring at 28. The smartest kids are scoring at 86 and are educated at home for $555 a year. So just measure 17,000 produces the dumbest and 550 produces the smartest, and then you just ask yourself, where do I want to be on the scale? All right, now, the late Professor Medford Evans, he was the former chief of security training for the Atomic Energy Commission, and he was a Yale PhD. And here's what he had to say about our government school system. He said, quote, "Never has so much been spent to teach so many so little," unquote. Now, an increasing number of parents disenchanted with the many pitfalls of state education are turning to non-government alternatives. Though the number of private schools appears to have stabilized over the past decade at about 25,000 schools and at about 2.5 to 3 million students, it is estimated that homeschooling is surging at an annual rate of 20 to 40% per year. With nearly 2 million children now learning their ABCs and values from their parents during the school day, this flight from public schools has been accompanied by an expanding market for information and resources to enhance the teaching talents of both parents and private school educators. So if you've got a pen and paper as we progress along, there will be some names and then addresses and phone numbers and etc. of sources of educational materials that you can write and look into, and then pick one that you think may be good for your child. That's what we did. Now, the religious schools, the Catholic schools, the Baptists and the Lutherans, they all have day schools. And quite frankly, they are pretty affordable. I sent our children to church schools, even though I didn't necessarily agree with their religious philosophies. But I don't agree with the religious philosophy of the public schools either. And I had less objections to the religious schools than to the public schools' religion, so I thought, shucks, I'll go ahead and take the lesser of the two evils and send them to religious schools. But maybe you can't afford that. And you're sitting there saying, yeah, but I can't afford this $2,500 a year, or $3,000, or maybe a little more in some cases, to send my kid to a private school. All right, that's fine. That's even better yet, because homeschool is even better. Now, there's a lady over here sending her kid to, or educating her kid at home, and she has saddled her children, just two boys. She's saddling those children with the curriculum modality that I brought out to you in the first program here in the series. That was developed by the Germans, remember, so that nobody could figure out what the hell was going on. Let me share something with you. My wife never spent more than an hour and a half a day in homeschooling our last child at home. And our last child at home was probably the smartest of all of them. And when she was in the seventh grade, she was tested over here at the Lutie School, because here in Missouri you have to put your child, you have to take them over to the public school and they give them a test. You know, like out-based education, you know, OB something or other, outcased education benefits or something. You have to have them tested to see how smart are they. And in the seventh grade, that girl scored at 12.5. That was, she scored higher in the seventh grade than the high school seniors scored in the Lutie School after graduation. And my wife never spent more than an hour and a half a day in our homeschool curriculum educating that child. So if you think that you have to spend, you know, hours and hours, you know, 6 hours a day sitting here at the kitchen table studying the books, that's nonsense. Nonsense. In fact, that's counterproductive. That's the way the public school system educates children. That's why the public school system turns out such a poor product. It's because of the modality that they use to educate. It's called the curriculum system. It sucks. It's so poor that the children turn out to be stupid, dumb, ignorant. There's another way. So we would start the child off with a computer. We had a computer here. Now, you can get used computers, boys and girls, for pennies on the dollar. You don't have to have the latest technological marble, you know, that has 30 billion quadrillion bytes of something. I don't know what the hell they are. I can remember we used to have a computer we bought back in 1985. My boy was telling me today. He laughed a little bit, and he said, "Why, that Apple that you bought back in 1985, he said, my computer here today costs one-tenth as much and does 10 times more." Wow, that's really great. But hey, listen, even if you just had one of those old 1985 computers for $250, you know, it's satisfactory for a kid. Hell, it was satisfactory for our school office back in 1985. What the hell is a 10, 12, 14-year-old kid got a need for some supercomputer, you know? So we'd start our child off, you know, with this computer, and we bought these homeschool computer programs so that our child could access the lessons, the academics, herself. See, you know, if you teach a child how to read, then you don't have to read to them anymore. If you would teach the child how to use the computer to access the material, then you don't have to spend all your time educating them. See how that works? Now, a lot of times people will say, "But my child doesn't like school." Well, who does? Who does? School, the academic system, has been set up and designed to dumb your kid down. Your child has a natural desire to learn. We all do. Everybody wants to know something that somebody else doesn't know. And when you go to public school, they're not teaching you that. See, they're psychoanalyzing you and teaching you psychology, and they're not teaching you things you want to know. But once you teach this child how to read, now the child can access the computer. The child then can access the things he wants to know. And boy, once you get them started, they just don't quit. In fact, with our daughter, you know, you had to get her off the computer. I say, "It's time for you to do your chores. Now get off that computer and let's go to work. Let's go to bed. You know, let's do this, that, or something else." Our girl would be in there, you know, sometimes late in the night. We would catch her at 2 o'clock in the morning on her computer doing her homeschool. And that's because, you know, when somebody wants to know something, when they're curious, there are times when the child wants to learn to read, wants to learn math, wants to learn something, wants to know something about Australia. And our daughter, once she learned how to use the computer and the homeschool system, when she wanted to know something about Australia, she'd go look it up. And she was just like playing a game. She's in here. Education is like a game. And children just love those computer games. All right, now going on here, the background materials as the first step. It's essential to understand the cause of our present discontents. Education specialist Samuel Blumenfeld, in his important work, he wrote a book called Is Public Education Necessary? Is Public Education Necessary? That's a book by a fellow named Blumenthal, Samuel Blumenfeld, spelled B-L-U-M-E-N-F-E-L-D. Is public education necessary? And he explained in disturbing detail how and why Americans were enticed to surrender educational freedom for educational statism. Blumenfeld notes that of the 117 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and our Constitution, only one-fourth of them ever attended college. Let me repeat that, because that's very important. You take the founding fathers of America, and we all think that they were geniuses, don't we? That's what I learned when I was in school. Oh my God, look at these founding fathers. They gave us our Declaration of Independence. They gave us our Constitution. They gave us our Articles of Confederation. Only a fourth of them went to college. You know, today they say, well, if you don't go to college, you're stupid and you'll never be able to make a living. That's horse pucky. Pure and simple. That's the propaganda that you get from some college who's trying to sell you on the idea of spending all your money sending your kid to college so you can dumb him down. If your kid's dumb when he comes out of high school, he'll be dumber when he comes out of college. Now, while George Washington was educated by his father, homeschooled, Benjamin Franklin was educated by his father and by a private school. Thomas Jefferson was educated by a tutor. Now, if you can afford a tutor, well, more power to you. Most of us can't. So why don't you, Mom? Why don't you, Dad? Why don't you become your child's tutor? I know, it sounds preposterous. You know, it sounds like, oh my God, I didn't go to college and I don't have a teaching credential. And so we say to ourselves, well, because I don't have a teaching credential, I can't teach. Because this is what we learn in our public educational system. Hey, if you're not a paid professional, hey, if you don't go to law school, you can't be a lawyer. Nonsense. Listen, 70% of the law school teachers are not licensed attorneys. That's just the way life is. So the attorney goes to law school, but he's being educated, typically, by somebody who doesn't practice law, somebody that doesn't have a bar card. And here's another little kicker. Four of the chief justices of the Supreme Court. It was, John Jay was one. I think John Marshall was two. Salmon P. Chase was three. And, three that I can think of off the top of my head. And there was a fourth one. Now, we've only had nine chief justices. And nearly half of them never attended law school. Four out of the nine never attended law school. Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, became president of the United States. Abraham Lincoln never spent a day in law school. So, if you think that you have to go to law school to be a lawyer, that's nonsense. If you think you have to have a teaching credential to teach, that's just nonsense. You know, I don't have a teaching credential, and I'm a teacher. All right, so that being the case, now once we get beyond this stereotype, you know, that if you're not an NEA teacher belonging to the union, a closed union shop, you can't teach. That's monopoly. That's not education. That isn't even common sense. Henry Ford only went to the sixth grade. In 1930, he made $30 million. Not bad for a sixth grader. And, you know, many of the leaders, the movers and the shakers of America never went to college. Most of our presidents never went to college. The new ones all do. I'm not denying that, you know, in the 20th century, in the 21st century, they're all college graduates. But, hell, George Washington was not a college man. You know, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant was. You know, there were a lot of presidents who were college men. They went to West Point or Annapolis, and they became president of the United States. Jimmy Carter is one. But to think that you have to have a teaching credential to teach is propaganda. So let's start thinking for ourselves and stop following the paid professionals now. Because the statistics tell us that the highest academic outcomes come from the people who do not have teaching credentials in our home schools. Now, that's where reality is. Now, Blumenfeld's NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education. He wrote a book called NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education. And it exposes the leftist political activities and the radical social policies of the National Education Association. The documents, and he documents, the significant contribution which the nation's largest teachers' union has made to illiteracy. If you want your child to become illiterate, you send him to a public school, to an NEA teacher. That's the reality of it. They teach illiteracy, crime, sexual promiscuity, drug abuse, and declining academic performance. If that's what you want, public school is the place to put your kid. That's what they're teaching there. Let me repeat that. Blumenfeld's book, and he wrote a book. This is a good one for you. It's called NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education. And he said, The NEA has contributed to, that's the nation's largest teachers' union, has contributed to and made illiteracy, crime, sexual promiscuity, drug abuse, and declining academic performance their number one agenda. If that's what you want, buy into it. Get after it. In other works by Blumenfeld, he focuses on solutions to the education debacle, including How to Start Your Own School, that's one of his books, How to Start Your Own School, and Why You Need One, How to Start Your Own School and Why You Need One, which helped launch the blossoming homeschool movement. He wrote a book called The New Illiterates and How to Keep Your Child from Becoming One. And that's a detailed guide to systemic phonics instruction and how to tutor, which explains how virtually any parent who can read can adequately teach the three R's. The Blumenfeld Education Letter is published monthly, and it keeps subscribers current on the pros and cons of educational trends. So, there's a number of books written by a fellow by the name Blumenfeld, B-L-U-M-E-N-F-E-L-D. So, if you went to Barnes & Noble and you said, hey, look up Blumenfeld and let me see how many books this guy has written. His name is Samuel Blumenfeld. Simple enough. Take a look at two or three of his books. Puts out a newsletter. And about... 3 million, last time I saw a number, about 3 million American children are now attending their own home school. And the majority, about 80% of them, are being educated by moms and dads, truck drivers, plumbers and carpenters, homemakers. Maybe they've been to college and maybe they haven't. The biggest bugaboo is it comes from blue-collar workers. Well, I'm just a truck driver. I'm just a housewife, and I never went to college, and I don't think I can do this. Listen, the homeschool program is put out in a form. You buy it. You buy it. You buy the books. You buy the computer. We like the computer because you can put your kid on automatic pilot with a computer. And it just opens the door, you know, for a child, because they then of and by themselves. They don't need you to sit down at the kitchen table and propagandize them or do jack squat. We would sit down at the kitchen table and we'd talk about some educational topic. It could be history. It could be geography. We'd maybe talk about Australia or Afghanistan. Something would be in the news like Afghanistan, and we'd ask our daughter, where is Afghanistan? What's this Afghanistan war all about anyway, Cole? What do you think about Iraq? Where is Iraq? Where does Iraq come into the picture here? And then she'd go look it up in her history thing. She'd get on her computer program, and she'd come back and make a report and tell us about Iraq. Just made her pleased as punch that she could make a report on some subject, you know, at the dinner table and tell Mom and Dad, you know, here's what's going on in the world. You know, sit down, Mom. Let me explain this to you. God, children just really love that. And like I said, we didn't spend more than an hour and a half a day working with them. They'll take off and they'll go by themselves. And it costs $555 a year. That's it. Plus the computer. We spent a little bit more than that. We went out and bought books and stuff like that. I mean, you can spend more, but you don't have to. And you can't miss. I'm just telling you, you can't miss. And this guy, Blumenfeld, Samuel Blumenfeld, get his name down. Start looking for some of those books, and then that'll give you a little bit more spine. You know, that'll give you a little more to work with. Now, oftentimes people say, oh my God, if I took my kid out of public school, wouldn't the social lady take my kid away from me? No, not at all. Not in any state in the union. I had a student in here one time who's educating his kids at home in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, see, the teachers union, they don't want you to educate your kid at home. Every kid that's educated at home costs the school district $55 a day. So picture that. You know, if all you people in Pennsylvania took your children out of public schools and educated them at home, what would happen to your public school system? Well, it would become non-existent, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have any public school system, and there wouldn't be any need for it because there aren't any customers for it. And so you would have competition. See, public school has no competition, none. It's paid for by the taxpayers. It's promoted by the government. Then the police power of the state is used to enforce it. And that's why everybody subscribes to it. It's not because everybody wants it, likes it, loves it, or wants to pay for it. It's that they're all fearful and timid before it. You don't have to be. Well, Pennsylvania has the toughest that I know of, about the toughest academic standards for homeschoolers in the nation. I mean, they really run those people through the ringer. And it's done for a purpose. It is to discourage you from educating your child at home. It's designed that way. And it works. It discourages most people because they have all these reports and things to make. And they don't want to do that, and so they say, oh, hell, just send the kid to public school so it saves me the time, effort, and energy. What that shows is that parents are lazy and don't want to educate their children, and they're perfectly satisfied to have their children dumbed down for their own personal convenience. Now, when I was a kid growing up, we used to have a standard. We thought that people who had children should feed them. It's your kid, you ought to feed him. It's your kid, you ought to clothe him. It's your kid, you ought to house him. It's your kid, you ought to educate him. And then the state came in and said, well, it may be your kid, but let us educate him, and we'll do it free. It's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. The communists do not have your child or your best interests at heart. They have an agenda, a political agenda, and they're trying to promote it. And they need more communists. And when you send your child to public school, he will, when he comes out, be a communist. I guarantee it. I was a communist when I came out of the public school system. I practiced communism till I was 37. All right, it's the midway point here. I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. And we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the education story. Education. And I gave you the numbers, I gave you the facts and figures here as to the costs. And the more we spend on education, and in particular, the more we spend on public education, the poorer the student becomes. Until by the time we're spending $17,000 a year in the inner city public schools, their academic output scores at the 28th percentile. But when we educate our child at home, spending an hour and a half a day, it costs $555, and it produces a child that scores on average at the 86th percentile. Now, that's even higher than the parochial schools. So if you can't afford parochial school, you can surely afford private school. It's $3.33 a day. It costs less to educate a child at home in the United States of America than it costs to buy one package of cigarettes per day. Now listen, boys and girls, you don't concern yourself. You're not really uptight about that $3.50 you're spending on a pack of Marlboros now, are you? Well, for less than that, you can educate a child at home. Less than the cost of a pack of cigarettes. Now, there's also legal aid. And that's because a lot of people are concerned about, oh my God, what would the government do to me? Well, the obvious threat which private schools pose to the government system has resulted in many varied attempts by the government to snuff out or to gain control of those private schools. So competent legal assistance for private and homeschoolers has therefore been an imperative. So the Virginia-based Homeschool Legal Defense Association was founded in 1983 to unite a large number of homeschooling families so that each family could have a source of quality legal assistance at low cost. This nonprofit organization presently has more than 30,000 member families. And while most legal threats to its members are resolved amicably and out of court, when litigation becomes necessary, the association provides full representation at each stage of the legal proceedings without cost to the family. So the Homeschool Legal Defense Association Senior Counsel, Christopher J. Klicka, who has successfully represented more than 2,000 homeschool families in legal conflicts. He is author of Homeschooling in the United States, a legal analysis, which describes in detail the legal atmosphere for homeschooling in each of the 50 states, and it is updated annually. And he has a more recent book, The Right Choice: The Incredible Failure of Public Education and the Rising Hope of Homeschooling. It is a very comprehensive overview of the benefits and biblical basis for homeschooling. And he covers its historical heritage and its academic success. Okay, so let's go back here and take a look. This guy's name is Christopher J. Klicka. And that last name is spelled K-L-I-C-K-A. He has successfully represented more than 2,000 homeschool families in legal conflicts. Now, let me tell you how this comes down. I had a student here one time by the name of Randy, and he was homeschooling his child. The little boy's name is Bobby Robert. He's up in Michigan. And one day, social lady writes him a letter and says, hey, your kid ain't in public school. And so Randy wrote him a letter back and said, oh, yeah, he's attending school. We got homeschool. And we don't have a birth certificate. We don't have a marriage license. You don't have jurisdiction, butt out. All right, that was important. But, hey, listen, most of you people have marriage licenses and birth certificates. And you want to keep them. Well, okay. I'm not here to tell you what to do or not to do, how to live your life. But listen, this guy, Klicka, wrote a book, and he said, now, listen, I've represented 2,000 of these homeschooling families, just, you know, normal Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives. You don't have to be a Randy in order to be successful. You can have a marriage license. Every state in the union has provisions for homeschool. What you need to do is to follow your homeschool provisions. That's all. Pennsylvania has about the worst. Alaska has about the best. And everybody else is in between. Here in Missouri, we have some homeschool requirements. They're not onerous by any stretch of the imagination. As a homeschooling parent, I didn't like some of the provisions. But, you know, I don't make these laws. And I said, Chucks, we can do that. And so we just complied with the state's requirements, which, as I pointed out, aren't totally onerous. Not like Pennsylvania. Now, the Pennsylvania requirements are onerous. They're just plain out to dissuade you from educating your child at home. And perhaps you need a little political pressure on your state legislature. But even Pennsylvania, as poor as it is for homeschoolers, can be accomplished. You can do it. You can do it. And this guy, Klicka, here, his name is Christopher J. Klicka, K-L-I-C-K-A, has written a book called Homeschooling in the United States, A Legal Analysis. He wrote a second book called The Right Choice, The Incredible Failure of Public Education and the Rising Hope of Homeschooling. Okay, he wrote those two books. So if you could go to Barnes & Noble with the name Klicka, K-L-I-C-K-A, Christopher J., and he's written some books. They'll look it up for you, and then it'll jog your memory. Homeschooling in the United States and The Right Choice. Why don't you get a copy of those books and take them home? That'll put a little more spine in your back, and you'll say, well, wait a minute. If these 30,000 families can do this, then why can't I do it? Now remember, there's about 3 million children now being homeschooled. Homeschooled. They're being schooled by their parents. Now, I'm telling you from my own personal experience, in an hour and a half a day, you have to spend an hour and a half a day. Hell, your kid spends or is expected to spend an hour and a half a day doing his homework. I remember when I was a kid, they used to expect me to do 1 hour every night, 5 nights a week, on homework. It was 1 hour. So, okay, take the hour that your kid's going to spend on homework anyway, and spend that on your home education. And maybe you won't score at the 86th percentile. Hell, maybe you'll only score at the 50th or 60th percentile. That's better than the inner city public school. That's where children are getting the poorest education in America, is in the inner cities like Chicago. All you minority parents out there, you know, you blacks and Hispanics. And now, the Orientals don't have a problem with it. The Oriental children in America are being educated by their parents, whether they go to public school or not. Hey, and listen, if you're from Asia and you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, I'd kind of like to take my kid out of public school, but I'm fearful and timid because I came from China or Japan in these autocratic, authoritarian governmental programs. Hey, listen, this is America. This is Canada. This is Australia. This is not China. This isn't Japan. Put a little backbone in there. You can educate your child at home, and if you do, your child will be even better than public school and your own home school. Take your kid out of public school and take the bad out of public school away from your child. Take the sexual promiscuity and take the drugs and take the communism out of your child's life and replace it with something intelligent, like your own personal home family values. I know it's a wild new concept, but think about it. Now, this the HSLDA, remember that's the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, was a plaintiff in a recent case in which the Texas Supreme Court ruled unanimously on June 15, 1994, that a homeschool enjoys the same legal status as a private school in Texas as long as it has a written curriculum and provides instruction in spelling, grammar, reading, math, and good citizenship. Now, that's pretty comprehensive. The Texas Supreme Court says you need a written homeschool curriculum. Okay, now listen. You buy this, and you buy it from the Baptists, or you buy it from the Lutherans or the Catholics. So you buy these curriculums, and it's in writing. We were spending $550 a year, and we bought the curriculum. You know, you buy it for the 7th grade, you buy it for the 8th grade, you buy it for the 9th grade. By the time our daughter finished the 7th grade, they took her over to Ludi and tested her. She was scoring at the post-high school graduate level in the 7th grade. Come on. That's why this homeschool program is so good. You know, you people are complaining about how poor your schools are. You're right. The schools are poor, but they're not poor accidentally. They're poor on purpose. They're dumb on purpose. So if you want to subscribe to it, stick with it. But if you're tired of that and you want to get the hell out of it, here's a little more spine for you. In the Texas Supreme Court. Now listen, all the Supreme Courts of the United States have had cases that come up from time to time. Your state will have a standard that they follow, and all you got to do is follow that standard. And the standard for homeschools is so easy, you can't miss. For instance, let's suppose that you go to the Catholics and you want the homeschool program for Catholicism. Catholic Church has that. They want Catholic parents to educate their children in Catholic theology in their home schools. They would prefer that you educate them in their parochial schools and let the nuns teach them. But, you know, not every Catholic can afford that. So let's take your Catholic kid out of the public school mess and let's educate him at home with a Catholic curriculum. And the Catholics have got one for every state in the Union. Hell, they've got one for Australia, New Zealand, France, England, Canada. Rest assured, the Catholics want your kid to be a Catholic, and they'll give you a Catholic curriculum. But here's the best part of it. Let's suppose that you're a Lutheran and you don't want your kid to learn Catholicism. So why don't you just dilute the Catholicism out of their program? And then, or better yet, you know, if you're a Lutheran, why don't you get a program from your Lutheran church? Let's suppose you're non-religious, you're an atheist, and you don't want any religion at all. Hey, listen, there's curriculums and programs that are put out by communists and all kinds of socialists and all kinds of people out there that are opposed to religion. That's the beauty of this. Homeschool is what you choose, and there's such a plethora of choices for you to make. Now, what the reason I'm pointing this out is that there's just a god-awful amount of literature out there in the homeschooling movement that you can pick from. There isn't any of you out there listening to me right now, I don't care if you're a Catholic, Protestant, or a Jew. If you're Jewish, terrific. Buy a Jewish program. But if you're anti-Jewish, well then, you don't need to buy a Jewish program. Why don't you buy an anti-Jewish KKK program? I'll bet you the KKK probably has one to homeschool kids to be rednecks in Alabama or Mississippi or wherever you're from. That's the beauty of this homeschool program. It takes education out of the hands of these paid professional communists and New World Orders, the Illuminati, and it puts it back in your hands where it belongs. When I was a youngster, we used to have, in our little town of Corbell, we had some Mormons up there. And there were other religious groups and organizations, but the Mormons kind of struck it. The Mitchells were Mormons. And boy, were they clannish. They liked their Mormon religion. They didn't like the influences that came from the roundabout. And so Mrs. Mitchell was pretty cautious and careful about who she let her children play with. They didn't mind influencing us to their Mormon philosophy, but they sure as hell didn't want you influencing their children as to your outside Mormonism philosophy. And they sent their children to the local public school, which was the Corbell School. And when I was a kid, the local people educated their children to their moral standards. And the schools allowed that. We didn't have any problems with the moral standards of the religions of the other kids. In other words, the public school system was not anti-church. It was not anti-religion. It was not anti-family. But that isn't the case anymore. Public school today in America is anti-religion, and they're anti-family. And they encourage your children to rat on the family. Tell us what's going on in your home. It's just like the communists everywhere in the world, you know. They want to control the families. They want to control you. Your children in public school are the eyes and ears of government and the school system on the family. And they're asking your children, when they come to school, to tell about mommy and daddy. Does daddy yell at mommy? Does daddy hit mommy? Come on, kids, let's wake up and smell a coffee here. This isn't education. This is social engineering. Nothing more, nothing less. And if you want social engineering, hey, listen, public school can't be beat. You've already got that. Now, if you don't want that and you want something else, you don't have to take something and replace bad with worse or replace worse with something that's almost as bad. And that's the point I'm making here. There's a whole plethora. If you're Jewish, listen, there's a Jewish program. If you're Catholic, there's Catholic programs. If you're Protestant, there's Protestant programs. If you're gay, lesbian, or something in between, hell, there's programs for you too. And the objective here is, why don't you choose what your standards are, and then why don't you educate your children to your standards? And that was what we did when I was a kid. The Mormons educated their children to their standards. And the Jews and Protestants and everybody else did the same thing. You can't do that in public school today. The standards in public school today are set down by your government. And that's the last word. And if your child goes to public school, then he's going to turn out just exactly like the New World Order elite want him to turn out. They've been marvelously successful. They've got a proven program. Works like a shot. All right, now that was the Texas Supreme Court. Now, when two families in North Dakota were tried and convicted for the crime of homeschooling, the HSLDA appealed to the North Dakota Supreme Court, which ruled in favor of the families and reversed their truancy convictions. And the HSLDA filed a federal civil rights action on behalf of nine homeschooling families against sundry school districts in Pennsylvania that had attempted to compel the parents to abide by an oppressive tutorial provision of the state's compulsory attendance law. And a U.S. district court judge ruled that the provision was unconstitutionally vague and unenforceable, and as a result, more than 20 court cases against the HSLDA member families were either won by HSLDA or were dismissed. So here's an association that is set up, a legal defense association. If you're sitting there saying, oh, I could never go into court and defend my home school. Okay. Well, spend a few bucks and join the HSLDA association so that if it happens, kind of like buying an insurance policy, you know, well, if it happens and you get prosecuted, well, you get on the horn and you say, hey, listen, come on over here and defend me. Now, let me illustrate another factor or factoid here. You have to follow your state statutes. I'm not advocating now that you just tell Pennsylvania to go stuff it someplace and I'm going to go educate my kid to the standards of Alaska. That isn't going to fly. But those standards that we have to meet here in Missouri, for instance, you probably will be put off by them. You're going to look at these requirements and you're going to say, boy, I don't like that. You'll probably use stronger language than that, but basically you're not going to care for it. I know I didn't. But hey, listen, the benefits that come from it. I can take my child out of the public school. I can educate him at home. And the standards that they set, I can meet. That's how low their standards are. Even I can meet them. Low standards, Georgie can meet them. Well, hell, if I can meet these standards, so can you. I didn't even go to college. All of you college people out there, for crying out loud, ought to be able to outdo me. If I can do it, surely you can. All right, so now you take your kid out, take an hour and a half a day. That's what we took here. Now, you might take less or you might take more. I don't know. Forget this school curriculum thing and follow your own personal curriculum, of which there's dozens to choose from. And I gave you a couple, three names of a couple, three books here. And a legal defense fund. I mean, what the hell? How can you miss? Now, I'm only appealing now to you people out here that are tired of public school and tired of communism. You say, listen, if I could take my kid out of public school, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I hear that. Okay, well, let me pump your heart up here, partner, and let me see if I can't help you take your kid out of public school. There isn't a poorer system of education on planet Earth than the American public school system. If there is, why don't you send me a letter and tell me where on planet Earth can you spend as much as we do and get as poor an outcome as we do in Washington, D.C. or New Orleans, Louisiana? Name it. That's a challenge. Name it. And I'll broadcast it for you. And so the complaints that people have is that, oh, my, I'm really bummed out about this public school over here. Well, a lot of people are. And here's the solution to it. I gave you the names and the numbers, gave you the names and addresses, gave you the books to buy. Why don't you give it a shot and see what happens? It can't hurt, and it might help. Hey, I'm about running out of time here again. Let's see, I've got about a minute and a half here. Let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on Compact Disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.